Is that the problem?
Josh, can you hear me, Josh? I can't hear you. I can hear Omar. I can't hear.
Yes.
Am I? Really? What? Yeah, I can't hear you.
I can hear you, Dave.
We can hear you, and Omar can hear me.
Why David? In the world? It's so strange. How can I not hear Josh?
That doesn't make any sense.
Arguably, this is what Josh has been telling me about working with you for the last 4 years. It's this is so funny. This is apropos.
It's gotta work.
Never listens to me. Hey everyone, welcome to FTS Friends Talking Shop, episode 65, the AARP episode. Is that right? That's about the 65 is when people go into retirement.
Well, anyway. You get the mail a lot sooner.
You do. You do get the AARP stuff probably too soon these days.
I've got
when
it
I hear
already.
65, I think of the speed limit in Virginia.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. I think of retirement. I think of old age and Social Security and that nonsense. But yeah.
Is there any correlation with speed limits and deaths on the highway? Do we know this?
Yeah, there is actually. The higher the speed limit, the more deaths.
Is that true? I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure if that's true.
I think it is, actually. I think the Autobahn has got a ridiculous number of deaths.
Mm.
In fact, in the time we've been recording, there's been two people who've been killed on the Autobahn.
That's moment of silence.
You want to take a moment of silence? The audience will see this on YouTube and TikTok. But Dave, are you on a laptop right now?
Well, I am on my phone. And my laptop is behind it.
I'm the host.
What was that?
Omar's hijacking my hosting.
Well, I'm just curious. Can't Dave put his phone on a few books so he doesn't have a neck cramp?
I don't think it's that bad.
Okay. Yeah, this is.
It's not that bad.
I'm quite comfortable. Don't worry about me.
I can count nose hairs, but okay.
Yeah, Dave's name on his video feed here is Frustrated because we've spent the last 45 minutes trying to get Dave into this recording session from an AV standpoint and not very successfully. So he's working from his phone. So hopefully.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it sounds decent, but that's the reason we had the last minute switch. And I'm taking over the hosting duties today. But we are very excited to be back with you. We actually. It's funny, we tried to record this on a couple days ago, and we were in the middle of the recording, and my Wi-Fi went out and stayed out for a day and a half, which I'll talk about in a second. But so this is take two on episode 65, but we're starting fresh for all of you. A couple housekeeping items. We would love to get your emails. We have one for this episode, which is great, from a Justin B., and we'll review what he had to say. But our website, if you want to get on our show and give us a compliment, a criticism. You want us to handle a certain issue for you?
Are we calling it a show now?
It's a show.
Wait,
what do you think it is?
Can we say that with a straight face?
It's a show, man.
Dave, do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a show.
65,000 reasons to think it's a show now. That's how many downloads we've had.
Interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to email the show, the Friends Talking Shop show, and talk to me, Dave, and Omar. Our email is friends@fts.media. That's friends@fts.media. We also are on all the majors now, social networks, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. We are at Friends Talking Shop. So check those out. You can see full versions of our show on YouTube, full episodes on YouTube, and then clips and other cool stuff on TikTok and Instagram. And then finally, to get everything under the sun, go to our website, www.friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And Weebly is W-E-E-B-L-Y. So it's friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. So that takes care of that.
I'm sorry.
I'm about to go right to you.
Dave knows what I'm going to say right now. I'm sure Josh will touch on this in some meandering, long-winded way about how the power went off at his house in Pittsburgh. And
I'm not in Pittsburgh.
Whatever. It's honestly the same difference. So, yeah. but my point is that our email address, which is FTS at, what is it again, Josh?
Our email address or our website?
Friends@fts.media. Yeah. So, Dave, do you want to tell Josh or should I say it?
Yeah. No, I think, well, I'll spread the news. Omar, to make this much more complicated, created a new email address for us called DaveJoshOmar@gmail.com.
So, it's horrible.
only because I feel we're losing 80% of our incomings.
Okay. Oh, here's what we'll do. Because you went around management on this one and just set this up. So why don't we give everyone both email addresses?
Yes.
We'll see what happens. We'll keep them both open. And then we'll see if that works. So what is it again, Omar? Tell everybody.
DaveJoshOmar@gmail.com.
DaveJoshOmar@gmail.com.
Free FTS hoodie.
There you go. All right.
It's a lot less threatening. The .media, I think, scares people away.
Dot media is always tough.
It's a weird one. Yeah.
Yeah. You put that in and your computer goes, are you sure?
Yeah. You did something wrong. That's right.
Yeah. Did you mean .com? anyway, so look, Dave, let me go to you first. You're frustrated according to your tag here, but you are also on vacation, so you can't be too frustrated. So how are you doing these days?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I am in on spring break in Charleston, South Carolina, and I am just a few feet from the ocean, which is really cool.
Nice.
I am a big fan of hearing the waves at all times. I'm jealous of you, Omar. I love hearing the waves. And being in St. Louis, you don't hear many waves.
Well, you can get yourself a sound machine, Dave. You get those sound machines. And
do you think that works? I've tried that. I can't trick my brain into thinking this is the same happiness that the real waves gives me. But I'm sitting here hearing it, and it really does sound like a sound machine.
Yeah, well, the sound machines are pretty good these days. They can mimic almost anything.
Yeah. I don't know. You're right. I've tried to think, if that brings me joy, why don't I turn that on or have it in the background or put it in the background when I'm sleeping or something?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the same effect as the real thing.
Because you know it's not authentic.
I guess that's right. But
yeah.
I do. I am in a good mood. I mentioned this on our part one of this episode.
Yeah. Which no one will hear, by the way.
One that's made me happy this week is I heard that they're doing a remake of the movie Naked Gun.
Oh, right.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, and, that's very exciting.
Talk about that. And the actor they have for it is Liam Neeson. I think I'm saying that, right? And I actually think that's going to be – I'm looking forward to that. I don't know what you guys think about Airplane and Naked Gun and what place did that take in your life. To me, it's a significant
– It's iconic. It's one of the best comedies of all time, or at least in my top 20 list. But I'm wondering why Omar, he just got up and left. I'm wondering why Liam Neeson, because he really hasn't played too many comedic roles, right? Unless I'm missing something, right?
No, but again, I think that's the point. You want the lead actor, Frank Drebin.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Frank Drebin, detective.
Yes.
You want a straight person doing silly things. And so Liam Neeson's a very serious guy, right? So he's going to have silly lines. And I think that's kind of the whole point of it.
Do you think it might be because his name is so close to Leslie Nielsen?
Oh, that's a good point.
That they went with Liam Neeson. It's so close.
Someone said, if only we had Leslie Nielsen. They said, Liam Neeson. Said,
we got something close.
Really good idea.
Yeah.
So anyway, that makes me happy. I don't know. Omar is my age, roughly. When Airplane came out, I was young. So, Josh, you probably saw it later. It was already
I saw it, though. I saw it. I didn't see it in the theater, but I did see it when I was very young.
Back in the day when Airplane first came out, I don't think there were any comedies like that before. I mean, it was a new awakening for me on what was funny and what wasn't funny anymore. It was so significant. And then that just carried on through Naked Gun.
Well, when was
Tom? That's actually a great question. It's like, what was the first movies or things you watched when you were younger that sort of like gave you an idea of the type of humor that appealed to you? Mm.
I think that's it. I think it's like Airplane. And there's another one I was about to say.
Well, this is a personal question, Josh. I mean, for you, it was probably watching someone, you know, I don't know, pound their head.
I told you it was Airplane.
Oh, it was Airplane.
Dave,
yours is the same thing?
Yeah, I think Airplane. I remember Caddyshack was a big deal.
Yeah, Caddyshack. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Back then.
Do you remember a movie called Top Secret?
Monty Python, Holy Grail.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't see that until much later. Yeah. Do you remember that movie Top Secret with Val Kilmer?
Yes. So that's the same directors as Airplane, Top Gun.
Now, which came first?
It went Airplane, then Top Secret, then Naked Gun.
Okay. So Top Secret was after Airplane. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's true. Yeah.
Because I saw that at a very early age, and I remember being blown away by it. funny, how stupid funny it was.
It's just great movie. It's a great, I love the humor. Everything's just play on words and stuff. Like, we do that all the time now, right? I feel like a lot of that was influenced by those directors.
Count de Monet.
Well, that's Mel Brooks. That's History of the World. But that's another one.
Mel Brooks is a good one too.
History of the World. I saw that at a very young age, and that was incredibly impactful for me. Comedically. Yeah, I love
for
that.
For sure.
Omar, how are you doing? I know you just took out you're doing some cosmetics here as I'm talking
to you. Well, I got my new fake earrings in the mail. I lose an earring every, few weeks.
Okay. All right.
So I go through and I got a bunch. I was out of earrings for a while, which I was a little bit distressing. I am
all right.
Happier than I was when we initially recorded this on Sunday. I am.
All right. That's good.
I realize, I don't need to be the best dressed, most, charismatic, good looking person, funnier in our crew. No one cares. They just like me for being me. And that's something I really realized in the last 48 hours. So I feel nice. I feel no one cares.
That's quite a breakthrough.
That is quite a breakthrough.
Yeah.
You're really growing up right before our eyes, Omar.
It feels that way.
All right.
I'll say something. We always talk about different things that happen to us. And, one thing that happened to us, and I guess Josh alluded to it, is his power went out because he lives in Pittsburgh.
Not my power. And I live in Philadelphia. And my power was on, ironically. It was my cable and Wi-Fi.
Well, so
just your cable and Wi-Fi.
Yes. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's weird.
Dave and I had a respite of Josh not being here. And I'm like, Dave, let's just flow. Right?
How long were you guys talking after I dropped off? Because
20 minutes happened.
Oh, yeah. My Dave, God.
Yeah, 20
unbelievable.
Minutes. We had so many ideas for this podcast.
We did.
Yeah.
And I want to nominate Josh Kaplan for the Patrick Ewing theory.
Which
do our
is?
Listeners know what the Patrick Ewing theory is. David, do you know
what
that
is? Why don't you tell them? Tell them.
I thought I knew it. Is it he's the best player, but he also causes him to lose or something like that? Is it
close? So it's a Bill Simmons thing, and who we love. And when Patrick Ewing did not play for the Knicks, he's a legendary player on the New York Knicks.
Yes.
He was got injured.
Hall of Famer.
When he didn't play, they actually played better, and they got further in the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know what you're saying. If you're calling me Patrick Ewing in this situation, it's
I think I know what he's saying.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
We need someone to do all the work.
Yeah, That's true.
I feel more like John Starks, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You want to ask me how I'm doing?
Josh, how are you?
Now I know how you feel, Dave.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So when my Wi-Fi went out, which it never goes out before. If it does, it's with the power, and then it comes right back on, and it's fine. And this time it was weird. My power went out, came back on, but my Wi-Fi then kicked out later, and then it didn't come on till the next day, till 8 at night. And so the next day, I had to go to the public library to actually work I needed to log into the network. I needed to get online, obviously. And I didn't realize what weird people come into the your town's public library during a normal weekday. So first I showed up there, and I was there at 9 o'clock, and there was a librarian in there, but she wouldn't open the door for me. Because the library doesn't open till 10 o'clock.
No.
So I was able to at least get on the Wi-Fi and work in the lobby. And there was another guy in there because apparently my whole town was out. So there was another dude in there. We're both in the lobby. We're both on our laptops. And then she finally let us in at 10 o'clock. We're the only ones, by the way. I don't know. There was no rush. It wasn't like everyone was lined up outside it's Black Friday at Best Buy. And we get in there. And I go scout this table in the corner. I'm like, I just want to get away from everybody who's about to come in. I go in this table in the corner. I set up shop, got my laptop out, got my phone out, the whole nine. I start working.
Did you go there with a back, like with a backpack?
Yeah, backpack.
On?
Yes. Yes. I went there with a backpack.
Dave, what's the over under on the number of Philadelphia Eagles paraphernalia that Josh had on his person?
I'd say the over under is 1.5.
1.5 different logos. I mean, that's a good actually. You want that's a great over under, Dave. Yeah,
you take the over.
I'm gonna still take the over.
It's Josh. Zero. I had zero on that day. Nothing. I had nothing. It was a work related backpack. It was there was nothing. There, unless you count my license plate, because I had that.
The
with
kids
me in my
still
car.
Call it a backpack?
I guess. What else are you gonna call it?
You have kids. I don't know. You tell me. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I think they call it a backpack.
It's not a knapsack.
Anyway, I sit at this table. And sure enough, not even 15 minutes go by, this older woman with like a full headscarf is with this really obese guy. And it was the ages were weird because they were not far apart to be mother and son, and they were too far apart to be husband and wife. And the guy is trailing her. She sits down at the table next to me. He grabs a National Geographic. Sits down with her. They don't say anything to one another. I'm kind of noticing this. Now I'm captivated by it. He pages through the Nat Geo. 15 minutes go by, maybe. They both get up and they leave. They leave the library. Now I'm thinking, what was the game plan here? Did he say, hey, let's go to the library. I really want to see the new Nat Geo magazine. Or there's an article I wonder. I can't figure it out why these people walked into the public library in the middle of a weekday and did this act and then left. It didn't make any sense to me. And she did nothing, by the way. She just sat there.
Maybe they're spies.
It was weird. It was just very weird.
Wait, they sat at your table? Was that awkward to sit at your table?
Not my table. They sat at the table next to me.
Oh, okay.
Next to me, yeah. It was just weird to begin with. And there were other oddities that went on. I noticed people coming in just doing some weird stuff. But I guess that's what you do in the middle of the day.
I bet you like half the activity there are people are spies.
They're spies? What are they spying at the township public
library? They like move books around. They put like notes in different books or crannies.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like for their asset to pick up later.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I hope that's the case. I hope I was.
Because National Geographic, no one reads those, so that'd be a great place to do it. You know, spies.
And he was there for 15. Spies read it. There you go. He was there for 15 minutes. That was it. He couldn't have read more than one article.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was strange.
Is National Geographic still current?
I don't even know that either. I'm not even sure.
No,
it was clearly a Nat Geo.
You know, our friend is a CIO there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. They are.
But I thought that they had the TV show, but they still published the magazine?
I guess so. Yeah. Anyway, it was weird. So, look, I hope I never have to do that again, quite honestly. That was a shitty situation.
You might have uncovered a big sting or a big undercover ring of criminals or something. So
I might be tagged now by the CIA if Omar's theories are correct.
But you'll be like in the movie where they drop something important in your bag. In your backpack, and then they try to find you to get it back.
Now I did have to go to the bathroom, and I just packed everything up in my backpack. I took my backpack to the bathroom, and then reset up again. After
good thing.
I was done. Yeah, there's no way I was leaving anything on that table. Anyway, so we did get a listener email, which is very exciting, and it's someone who has written us before. So this is a big fan. His name's Justin B. And his topic, or at least his subject line, says socks and questions. So it says, topic one, dear Omar. So right to you, Omar. Please wash your socks after every use. Signed, anyone within a 2-foot vicinity of you or a fellow traveler. So I believe that you talked about how you never wash your wool socks. You got your mouth full of food, dude. I mean, it's unbelievable. We're recording a podcast.
I'm a little shocked at this.
It's amazing.
It's so gross.
No, because timing. I'm eating ice cream, for the record. That's a gross ice cream. But why this is so crazy, and I think there's a – what is it? There's a fine line between being open and honest and going too far. But the part of this email – which is fascinating to me. And I'm going to say, okay, And again, this is in the interest of content for our show.
I don't know how you can't. I don't know how you can't address this directly. Why do you beat around the bush?
Why in a second? All right,
go ahead.
I have. Oh God, this is so embarrassing. This is like worse than like saying.
Say it. What do you got? Foot fungus?
When you might be going at this.
I have a rash on my foot.
Okay.
And the doctor said it's itchy. It sucks.
Is it because you don't wash your socks?
The last four or five days, but he's like, it is a fungal.
You got fungus.
I can't believe it on my feet. And he goes, it's not about how much you shower or blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, just make sure that you wear clean socks. Like you wash.
You don't wash your socks. And so Justin hit the nail on the head
here. So I think that I'm going to start washing my socks and or not wearing them.
Yeah. Hey, genius. I could have told you that. You need to go to a doctor. Hey, by the way, once you saw your foot was itchy or fungus, did you ever think, boy, maybe I should wash my socks? Or you that didn't hit you until the doctor said it.
No. I thought it was like a mosquito bite or something.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think you don't have to wash your socks after. Did we talk about this already? You don't have to wash your socks after everywhere, do you?
Yes, you do.
I'm telling you, my doctor said, I think because no. I have this pronounced condition.
Yeah.
It in the interim, well, I have it. And again, it's dissipated by now.
Stop. Dave, you have to wash your socks after everywhere.
No, I don't think. It depends on what you wear them for. I mean,
no.
If it's a full day of work, I can see. Going to the gym, I can see. But if you wear them for a few hours?
Yes. Your feet sweat. I'm sorry. And they sweat because they're wrapped in socks. There's no doubt in my mind. If I wear socks for 10 minutes, I throw them in the laundry.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think my feet sweat. I've not had that problem. I'm not Omar where I never wash them, but I don't think I wash them after every.
You should. You should wash them after everyone, everywhere. Don't you have enough socks? I mean, you guys do all right. I mean, you should just buy more socks, please.
I have buy more socks.
Do you ever wear a pair of underwear again?
No. The only thing I will wear again, what is Dave doing? This is gone off the rails. You know, I expect it from Omar. I do not expect it from Dave.
I'm running out of power. Sorry.
Oh, my God. The only thing I will not wash after a wear is jeans. That's it. Everything else I wash after one wear.
So T-shirts. Well,
yes.
How about hoodies?
It's a good point. Yeah, hoodies I won't wash after one wear. Great point.
You haven't heard that you can wear your underwear four times?
Yeah, that's – I know. Inside out, backwards. Yes, yeah, right. I know all the ways.
Let me
continue his email. So that's good. So he should be happy to hear that Omar now with his foot fungus will be washing his socks. Justin goes on to say topic number two. He says, I've never listened to a podcast – where a person eats on the mic every episode. Oh, my God, is this apropos. Omar is eating on the mic now. He says, this isn't an all-day conference. How is it that Omar cannot hold off for 1 hour so he isn't eating on the mic?
Yeah,
Omar, he's hit you again. And by the way, as I'm reading that, Omar is shoveling yogurt into his wallet.
Actually, I discovered something. I would do butter pecan ice cream. I would do two scoops of butter pecan and two scoops of vanilla.
Yeah.
But I realized I ate around the vanilla. Now I go four scoops butter pecan.
Yeah, but you're not answering his question. His question is, how are you not able to just hold off and eat after the podcast?
I don't know. I don't know how to say this. After the podcast, I go to sleep.
Well, that's how you say it.
Yeah. So I have the time to eat and I enjoy eating with my friends.
Yeah, but we're not eating. Dave and I aren't eating.
I don't think the audience can tell.
This is not a meal. All right, here we go. Next question. He goes on. One more thing he says. Topic number three. So, Justin, you'll be Justin will be happy with number one. Omar's now going to wash his socks. He's going to be horribly disappointed with number two. Omar will continue to eat on microphone. But number three, he says, question for the guys. I assume that means us. If the three of you started a business together, which position would each of you hold within the company? For example, who would be CEO, CFO, and COO? You've been friends for years, but I assume the three of you may not agree on who would be the best at each position. Great, great question.
I'd say something. Whoever this, what is this person's
great
name again?
Great question. Yeah, Justin. Justin B.
This is the best question we've ever been asked.
It's a good one.
It's a good question.
All right, Dave. Dave's got the answer. What is it? Who's who?
So Omar would be the CEO because that person does the least amount of things. They just sort of vision cast and, you know, can kind of – because you got to have – it's not that he would be a great CEO, but, you know, he's got to –
we got to hide him somewhere.
Yeah, we got to put him in one of those three places. And imagine a COO and a CFO.
It's a great
by default,
call.
He has to fall to the CEO, which is a shame.
Yeah.
That's true. And then, Josh, I think you'd be the COO because look at with the podcast, how you get things done.
Yeah.
And and so then that would make me the CFO, I think. I do have a economics degree. I guess we probably have a finance degree. And,
I do. I have a finance degree. But I like the way I like the way you map that out, actually. I think that makes sense. Omar, do you disagree with that?
Yeah.
This is the part where you talk.
No, I'm thinking about it because obviously this your answers are both feeding into my ego, so I'm rebelling against it.
Are they? I think the reason why we made you CEO is because we don't trust you to do any of the actual heavy
keep
lifting.
Keep you out of the work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't be the CFO. I could not be the COO. You're right. You're right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
No, you're right.
How funny is this? That we all agree on that on those roles. It's really unbelievable. So
we
Justin,
made the
thank
CEO
you.
To be the least productive and most offensive position. I don't know how that's happened.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And you're actually you're a good face of the organization, Omar.
Thank you.
And you're a big idea
you ever said to me.
Yeah. I think it would be like kind of like a Weekend at Bernie's thing. We Dave and I would pull off there.
Yeah.
With you as CEO. Anyway. Thank you, Justin B, for that email. If anyone else wants to reach us, you can do so at friends@fds.media or davejoshomar@gmail.com. That'll be interesting to see what we get next. All right. So for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, here's how we work. Each of us brings a topic or issue to the table where the other two have not heard yet. And then we hash it out. We try to solve it for that person. So that's the quick and dirty there. Why don't we get things kicked off? Dave, why don't you start with your topic? What do you have for us?
All right, so my topic this week, speaking of Omar as a CEO, Omar does actually have a real job. And I won't get into all the specifics, Omar, but can I say that you managed and ran a conference in Texas. If you don't want me to mention all that detail. Josh, you can
say whatever you want.
No. That all goes in.
It's a conference in Texas. It's had probably 100 plus people there.
I think 200. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was 200. Probably right.
Maybe even 2 million. It's super big.
All right, somewhere between 1 and 2 million that we had.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
You know, we had speakers and events and dinner and like food prepared. And I mean, there were a lot of details that went into this. And it was, I would say, maybe the best investment conference I've been to in a long time. I think it's true. I mean, it is. I mean, the content was very strong. But I when I go to conferences myself, it is a lot of the people networking, you know, spending time sharing ideas and things like that. And so in that part, you really knocked out of the park.
Timeshares.
Timeshares.
Yeah, people sell timeshares. I'm kidding, not at ours, but that's your corner.
No one's there are no timeshare sales at Omar's event.
And so at this conference, Josh, Omar, and I were together in person for a few times. This actually happened, so that was a good time. And I will say the highlight, which is kind of the impetus of for this podcast, is the first or second night, maybe the first full day, after we sat around kind of a fire pit and just did a lot of what we do here on the podcast, but there's probably 10 of us and we just talk about the same things we talk about on this podcast, but we just sit and laugh and it is a great time. So Omar, congratulations on a great conference. I would say it was top notch, highly recommend it. But what my topic is.
The audience should know there's someone is literally holding a gun to David's head right now, as he's saying.
It's a hostage video.
This podcast is sponsored by LW3.
that's right, yeah.
But one thing that I think is really interesting that Omar does, I think he does this in life, and he did it with this conference, is that he wants to do things that people will get people talking, that it becomes memorable.
Yes,
that's just not another conference. It's that conference where this happened. And so I want to just share with the audience what happened at a couple of these at this event, a couple of things that happened. Now, mind you, the conference is regarding investments.
Wait, hold on. Before you go any further, do you think that one of the Rubicons for a adolescent to pass that show that they've adulted, they've entered their adult phase of life,
yeah,
is that their job incorporates at some point to go to a conference? It's kind of like a
thing,
right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
whatever your career is, whether it's our industry,
that's right,
real estate or advertising, you go to conferences. It's like a thing.
It's a thing.
So it's like a anyway, David. I wanted to add that on. I'm sorry.
That's not just adolescence, but yeah, when you first get your job, you're usually not going to a conference right away, right? You got to establish yourself and to get that expense money and go to the conference. Yeah. That they trust you. I think that's a very good point. But if you send someone to one of Omar's conferences, this is one of the things that you'll see. and Josh, you can help me think of maybe some others if I'm missing one. But the big one is when the conference got kicked off, Omar wanted to make a grand entrance.
Yes, he did.
And his idea was he rented a coffin.
Our idea.
A coffin.
Well, it was your idea. It was your idea.
Yeah, I don't remember being consulted on this.
I was consulted.
I think there might have been a point where I was like, that sounds fun. But I don't know if it ever was generated by anybody other than you, Omar. But Omar rented a coffin and then put himself in the coffin, closed it, and was carried on stage in a closed coffin. Josh, you were one of the pallbearers.
I was a pallbearer. That's correct.
Yep. Yes. I escaped that duty. And you were brought on stage.
David had a higher calling.
You popped out of the coffin, which so there's a couple of things about this. One is the audacity of doing it, because I think people will hear that was the conference where the organizer came out of a coffin, which is rarely happens in the industry we're in. Like rarely happens.
I don't even think that happens in the funeral industry.
I'm not sure what thing anybody ever pops out of like, unless if I'm like Elvira,
right? That would be the only person.
I mean, David, Elvira. I don't know
if you're at an Elvira event, maybe.
For the idea lights out. It's great if your purpose was to be remembered. I mean, I think we'll all remember that.
Check
execution, not so much. So
I'm really upset about that.
Let me, first of all, when people arrived at the conference, Omar showed the coffin to, I think, everyone. So everyone
yes, pretty much.
Coming,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You should have kept it quiet.
Do you guys agree now in hindsight that I shouldn't have told anyone?
I told that to you repeatedly at the event. I'm like, you keep telling people about the coffin.
I'm not good at keeping secrets.
No, you're not. You were so excited about it. And I get it. You were very excited, but you had to, told way
the thing
too
is,
many
I
people.
Wasn't sure even if I was going to do it, even leading into it. I mean, Josh
but you
mentioned
rented it.
Dave, I'm pretty sure I called you too.
Because you may have, and I would have said, go for it. I don't see any issue with it, but I would have loved to have stepped in and helped with the execution of it, because the second part was,
real quick, that just goes to show you, just for our listeners, how crazy conversations are. With Omar, the fact that Dave cannot recall whether or not Omar called him to ask him, should I pop out of a casket at my conference? Dave can't recall that. And the reason he can't recall that is because that is a normal call from Omar. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But the second thing is, as he was lifted onto the stage and was set down, he immediately pops out.
Yeah,
like he just could, he just popped right up, and I think
might have been because the oxygen was very
that's
very small. Were you getting claustrophobic
in there?
No,
I can't believe it. Because it was tight and one of the things,
if you were at the event, you would have seen that Josh and I having an altercation. And Josh was missing for about 4 or 5 days. People thought I killed him. He's back now, obviously. But the reason was because, and our listeners, I'm sure, have these people in their lives. Josh and Dave are my like go-tos about thinking about how to most maximize these bets, if you will, these kind of things historically, whether other things that we've done. And afterwards, I realized the thing we messed up on was I should have stayed in it longer because Josh would be giving a eulogy.
And
I was really upset.
Yes, actually.
I still, even right now, I sort of resent him for not saying we have to do a eulogy.
Eulogy, right. Yeah.
It's actually, it is a shame. Like that is a perfect comedic moment that I don't know if we will get back because that would have been fantastic.
I tell you what's interesting though, Dave, about what you're saying, and it made me think about something. Have you guys been skydiving?
Never been skydiving, no.
Okay, so I've done it. Okay, and obviously it was on a date, whatever, trying to impress a girl. I didn't know what the fuck I was getting myself into. I'm like,
What number date did you do skydiving? What's the protocol?
Second date, third date.
Second date skydiving? That's aggressive.
No.
So and she was all bored.
Huh?
Did you surprise her and bring her to the
first date? Is that what you said? I got some thigh action. No. What are you asking me?
Okay. No.
I don't know what he's asking me, Josh.
That's not what he's asking. Did you surprise her or did you ask her?
No. We talked about doing it. That's probably why I got the second date.
It wasn't like the bachelor's date where they just show up and a helicopter brings them to.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
But I did it.
I
do kind of
want to know what happened on the first date.
And I guess the point I'm making is that this thigh action. But the point is
that's
like
not what he means.
Like I jumped. I'm like, you know, I'll jump out of a plane. Maybe I'll have a different view on life. I don't know. Right. Jump out of the plane. Tandem, by the way, I'm with an instructor.
Of course.
I forgot to pull the rip cord. But in the time I was supposed to, and then they did it, which is fine. I clearly survived, but I broke all my bones, by the way.
You didn't.
my body's bionic. But my point is that nothing happened. I landed. Okay, it was over. I would never do it again. It's ridiculous. And so my point is, people ask me in the coffin, did you think about anything? Did you have like these views of mortality? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
I can see that. There's a big
difference though between being in a coffin and going skydiving.
Is it?
Yes, of course. The coffin is a bit. There's no. I wouldn't be thinking of mortality or anything significance. I'd just be thinking of
David. Would you?
Okay. I'd be thinking of my entrance out of the coffin and how I would, you know, what I would say.
The audience should know. In the background, the song was playing from Fast and Furious. Yes. It's been a long way without you, my friend.
Like he's dead. With pictures of Omar, by the way, like he's dead.
I don't know. I think I would have had a little bit of an existential crisis sitting in a coffin. Like this is what it's like to be in here. I mean, I think that would have crossed my mind. Although knowing that there's 200 people around me might have distracted me some. But that's a tricky one. But it's really disappointing. The eulogy would have been a great idea. So. But I think high marks on the idea. I love it.
Yes, I love it. Right. Unique, very unique.
Can it be topped?
Yeah, everything can be topped. Everything can be topped.
Ask us next time, then we'll give you some ideas. The second thing was at the end of the first day conference, we had some entertainment on stage, and it was a magician.
Yes.
Which rarely do we get magicians at investment conferences. This doesn't happen that often.
Rarely means none, never.
And what I thought was hilarious is, Omar, you came out in a magician's coat and a top hat.
Yes, he did. Top hat.
Then you got nervous. Then you changed out of it.
Yeah.
And we asked you, why did you change? You said, I don't know. I feel kind of stupid. We said, you just came out of a coffin. So then you put it back on.
I did. You got redressed.
Got back on. It's just hilarious. So we had a magician. The magician, I don't know. What do you think about the magician, guys? Were you happy with the magician?
Joshy, what was your rating on the magician?
So here's what I'll say.
Very good at this.
Here's what I'll say. I've been saying this for years. These conferences that we go to, they're long. They're mentally exhausting. You are talking about the industry from the time you wake up through dinner. And it's continuous, by the way, other than a couple 15-minute breaks here and there and lunch and things like that. So I've been saying, wouldn't it be great if there was just a breakup and where you could just mentally just unwind a little bit and reset and have something just to entertain you? And Omar delivered that. So he actually brought that in with the magician. I thought the magician was great. I loved it. It was a great way to close the day. Now, in typical Omar fashion, the magician I had met the night before. Now, how did I meet him the night before? Because he was there the night before at the at the happy hour. And I was talking to him, and he was, you know, talking about very cool stuff and how he's, you know, he's worked for David Blaine. And I asked him a ton of questions. I'm a big David Blaine fan. But then what's crazy is I saw the magician the day after he performed, and he wasn't doing anything. He was just walking around the conference. So this is typical Omar stuff. He didn't just hire a magician in Austin for 1 hour, which would make sense.
Yeah.
He hired a magician from New York, which he flew to Austin, Texas, and paid him for 3 days.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I didn't realize that. So we had him at our disposal the whole time. We could have.
Well, you weren't there the first night, Dave. You came in way too late. You're playing. You're playing.
Offered to be one of the poker dealers. He did.
He should have.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Now, Josh, what did you think when he dropped the cards out of his sleeve? Did you find that to be somewhat that took the
he
illusion?
He messed up a couple times, but he was still really good.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
Here's the other thing.
He did really hard tricks.
He did. He actually did a trick that I asked him to do the night before that I was asking him about that David Blaine did on one of his specials, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's the pick a card, draw on the card, open up an orange. Your card's in the orange, basically, right?
That was basically it. The card went into the center of the orange.
Do you think that, like, all magicians' magic conforms to the law of physics?
I'm serious. Look, if you're are you being serious? Because if you're asking me if I think they actually are magical, the answer is no, they are not. So, yes, it all conforms to physics.
David?
Yes, I don't think they are able to bend the law of physics in any way.
Stop.
It's that they're tricks.
Along the lines of the magician, by the way, and Dave, you also missed this because it was the first night. Omar rented out this great barbecue place, right? The whole thing. And it was a really cool place. It overlooked the lake, whatever lake what that was. I don't
Lake
know
Placid.
What it was. No, it was not Lake Placid. We were in Texas. It overlooked
Minnetonka.
Nope, not that either. We overlooked this lake. It was a big outdoor area, and the food was good. But then, so it's like 200 investment people walking around because we were the only ones in there and talking and, you know, having a beer and then eating some barbecue. And then I look
over. Trying to avoid eye contact, yes.
Yeah, trying to avoid eye contact. And then I look over Dave and I see this weird guy. I'm like, who's this dude? And he's not dressed like the rest of us and he's a little, he doesn't look like he belongs. And so I asked Omar, hey, who's that? I don't know who that is. And Omar said, oh, that's Willie Nelson. And so what Omar did was he hired lookalikes, country music star lookalikes, to attend this dinner and walk amongst us. And so there was a Faith Hill. It was Willie Nelson. And who was the third person you hired?
Tim McGraw.
Yes. Tim McGraw was there.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
If I could just interject here for a second, like, look, my life is black and white and as bland as possible. In an effort to have some excitement, whenever we have events, I say to our team, I go, we always want to have 3 lookalikes every single event we have. Do not tell me who the lookalikes are. I don't want to know. Just pick random people. And that way, I don't know either. And if anybody guesses all 3, they win a prize.
Yeah, but that no one, first of all, number one, no one knew that was the game. That's the first thing.
Yes.
Number two.
More importantly.
Number two, no one talked to any of them.
Number three, none of them looked like the lookalike they're supposed to be portrayed.
No, they didn't look like who they were supposed to portray. They were clearly outsiders.
It was young Willie Nelson.
clearly not part of the crowd, not part of the conference. And it was just such
a young Willie Nelson.
I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. Can you give me a Willie Nelson before he's recognizable? You know, what he looked like when he was 24.
I was like 26.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But what are we supposed to do with these lookalikes? We're at a barbecue place. They're not performing. They're just walking around. No one's going to talk to them.
It's the absurdity. It's the Andy Kaufman.
It is the absurdity.
Look, that's why.
What did they do?
They did nothing, Dave.
Have free
they walked
beer. That's what
they walked around, looked a little creepy, and tried to draw eye contact with you so they could talk to you. And no one talked to any of them the entire time. And so Omar paid them basically to just dress foolishly.
Yeah, yeah. And
they'll do a barbecue place.
We'll have other lookalikes at all of our events.
So you think they talk to each other?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they did. They did. They talked to each other. Yeah. Because they realized
They also ate barbecue and they had some of the booze.
They did. They did eat barbecue and they were drinking. Yeah.
Well, I commend you. Those are all, I mean, don't go changing, Omar. Those are these conferences are memorable. It was well done. So good job, sir. I wanted to.
It's funny
give you
what
shot.
Like I think about when I think about that event. And it's the no water in our hotels.
Yes. Right? Yes. So we had no water. So we showed up at the hotel. Beautiful hotel, by the way.
So there was a few hotels at this event.
Yeah.
And the one main hotel, which many of us wanted to stay at, was where we were.
Yeah.
Right? Because et cetera. And so it was only 45 rooms. And they ended up using another four hotels. And this hotel was booked. Now, Josh, please. The irony, of course, was
there was no water. So we showed up and they told us we're going to have to turn the water off at 2 a.m. because we might have an issue. And then literally an hour later, nope, sorry, we have the issue right now.
So did you guys try and take a shower? I mean, I did.
I didn't have to, thankfully, because I came in off the plane ready to go. So I was already showered.
My shower worked. By the next morning when I got up.
The next morning. Right, yeah. But a lot of people came off and needed the shower before the event that evening. And we're not able to.
And they didn't come. Like I was against the wall, trying to get trickles off of the hose.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And that lasted for a while. But
and there was one individual who went to the gym, worked out, and then was unable to shower before the dinner.
Oh yeah. No, they didn't go. Yeah,
no, they went. Well, they went. They went to the dinner.
Oh, they did go.
She
didn't wash her socks or anything?
No.
One of the more one of the interesting things that came up at our event was there was one of the investors there. One of the people there, their name was do you guys know the name? It was a male. Right.
Yes.
And but their name was a sort of could be construed as possibly a female name.
Okay.
Right.
And
almost like that song, almost like, you know, Christian or Chris or, you know,
what
I mean?
Where are you going with this? I don't understand what you're doing.
Where I asked
grinding
him,
this to a halt.
Well, I'm sorry. Excuse me. They were they have been nominated for Women Awards because of your name, right?
And I said,
that is nuts. I'm like, you know, it actually, but how was it growing up? I'm like, was it like that song, A Boy Named Sue by Johnny
Cash?
Named
Sue.
And you guys know that song, right?
Of course. Yes. Yes.
And so he finally finds his father who named him Sue.
Right.
Right. He fights him.
Yeah.
And he goes, I named you Sue. So you grow up to be tough.
And
this guy said, you know what? It's right. It's true. I talked to my dad. He said the same damn thing.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't like
I'm
that
thinking
at
if
all.
I ever have a boy, I'm going to name him Shirley.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
What a setup.
Yeah. Listen, the other thing that happened
set up for long.
That took way too long. Sorry. The other thing that happened at the hotel is I had a main floor room, right? Beautiful room. It was enormous.
Huge.
Big suite.
You had a huge room, right?
Huge room. And it was on the main floor, right? So I had a patio that led out to the grass area, you know, outside the hotel. I go to sleep I wake up the next morning. I take a shower. I go into the living room area, and my patio doors are wide open. They are just blowing in the wind. And this was like at 7 in the morning, and I'm just thinking, oh, my God. Did someone break into the room while I was sleeping? And I was checking myself for, like, you know, stab wounds.
Aches and pains, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? But and who knows how long those doors were open for, by the way, that I'm sleeping through the night and these doors are wide open. People are probably walking by going, what's going on in that room?
But anyway, yeah, that was a memorable conference, Omar. So
it was good. He did a great job.
That's my topic. Okay. We'll be doing it again, so we'll give further updates as Omar definitely progresses.
Yep. There will be more funerals in our future.
I hope so. And that good sounds deal weird to say that, but I do hope so. Let me transition to my topic here, because this was something that I don't know if you guys saw this in the news. It was on CNN.com, but I don't know if it made any type of news story beyond that, but it was something, it just happened, and it just infuriated me. So I'm going to read you a little bit of it, but this is what happened here. So I'm going to skip the beginning where it says Owen Lloyd. He's a senior at NC State University. Okay. North Carolina State University. It says he clinched the 1650 yard freestyle title at the Atlantic Coast Conference, the ACC championships. And this was the end of February, but was promptly stripped of his title after climbing into the adjacent lane to celebrate with his teammate, Ross Dant, who finished in second. Now, go on to read the article, and I won't bore you with the rest of it.
I actually read this article.
Did you read this article?
No, actually, I misspoke. I actually wrote this article.
Wow.
So for our listeners, here's basically what happened. You have this kid at NC State, at the ACC championship, the 1650 freestyle, 1,650 yards. It's a long swim. This kid finishes in first place. He notices, he looks over at the lane next to him, and his teammate finishes in second place. He's excited. He goes under the rope and hugs. What?
He went over.
Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah, he goes over the rope and hugs his teammate, right? Now, they disqualified him. Why? Because the rules say that you cannot leave your lane.
Two men are not allowed to hug each other with their shirts
on. No, that's not the rule. That's not the rule. Well played, but that's not.
Yeah.
That is not the rule. This was not the – I'm not going to say it. But anyway, that was not the rule. But the rules state that you cannot leave your lane before the race is officially over.
Right.
And so why was he disqualified? Because a kid in a lane several lanes away from him had not quite touched the wall.
Right.
And so they disqualified him. So not only does he not get the ACC championship, but the winner of that race was slated to then go on to the NCAA championship for all of college in that event. And that is complete horseshit. This kid won. There's no question he won. This rule had nothing to do with the race whatsoever. And really, it's built for obvious reasons. You can't, if you leave your lane and you go into a lane of another swimmer who's still swimming, obviously you've obstructed them. You've altered the race.
But doesn't this go back to the whole saying about, like, staying in your lane? Like, stay in your lane, bro.
No.
Isn't that
what
the rule is called?
No.
Look, that technically he is correct. That is what it means. But
it is what it means. And
I don't think that's helpful in this case.
Rules are rules. And so technically by the rule, yes, this kid did break the rule. But we all know he was the fastest swimmer. We all know he legitimately won the race. So why can't we throw in a little bit of common sense here? And that's my question. Shouldn't common sense in this scenario override, even because his buddy, his teammate, now goes to the NCAA championships because he becomes first place. And his teammate even said, I don't deserve this. Mm. He deserves it. My buddy, what's his name? Owen Lloyd. Owen Lloyd deserves
Owen Lloyd.
This. So why, let me ask you, why can't we interject some common sense every once in a while? Why is the zero tolerance nonsense permitted? Or am I wrong? Or are rules rules and he broke them?
No, it's a really good topic because it's very complicated. But I would say in this case, common sense rules, you could give him a warning. Don't do it again. And everyone would be just happy. You get your point across. There's not any, he wasn't assisted in any way while he was swimming.
That's right.
And if I were in that audience and I was a police officer, I would follow these judges home. And if they went one half of a mile per hour over the speed limit, I would give them a ticket. I would throw them in jail. I would say, rules are rules. That's what I would do. And of course, they would
be more aggressive than right there, Josh. What was that?
Yeah, I think we struck a nerve, Omar. I struck a nerve. That set him off.
Sorry.
Dave, did you have a swimming incident when you were in college that we don't know about?
He clenched his eyebrows, if that was even possible. Never seen anyone do that before.
There was a clench there. There was definitely a clench.
You could easily just get this done with a warning. Don't do it anymore. NCAA has been doing this for years of this rules are rules thing.
Yeah, Omar, get close to your mic. I can't hear you.
So I would say this. I would say that did I ever tell you guys the story of when I went to the Super Bowl when the Patriots played the Falcons?
Is this the seat story?
And my fourth French got there late, and there was a brief scenario. I had to give him his ticket. I had to leave the stadium, and therefore I would not be able to get back in for the Super Bowl.
Okay, you did not tell us this.
And so long story short, I was prepared to leave the stadium to give him his ticket, and I would not be able to get back in because said to myself, you want to know what? This is such a great story. I had to go watch the game in a bar, a few miles away.
You didn't get back in.
That was what was going to happen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I eventually, by the stroke of luck, there was an employee there who actually, one of 100, who said, I'll give him the ticket for you.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my point is, in my mind, I'm like, you know what? This is actually a better story than going to the Super Bowl. This is the one where Tom Brady came back. And,
no, it's not. It's not a better story.
Well, excuse me, if I may. So I'm saying with this guy who the undertower guy, whatever his name is, who went under the rope, over the rope, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I almost think it's a better story for him of how he can tell a story. And it's a lifelong lesson to his family, to his kids, about not pulling a Leon Lett. Now, Leon Lett.
That's different.
Some of our listeners may know who this is.
That's very different, Leon Lett.
Sacked the quarterback, and he was running a touchdown in the Super Bowl, was celebrating at the 5-yard line before he got in the end zone.
Yeah.
And Don Beebe punched the ball out, never scored.
Yes. Yes.
So you got to finish at the end and execute and not get distracted by ego.
Here's the difference. Don Beebe made a play on Leon Lett. Leon Lett wasn't in the end zone.
Leon Lett let him made the play. That's why he has the name.
He didn't know.
His name wasn't his name before was Leon Earnett. Right? And because of that play, it became Leon Lett.
Listen, these are two very different scenarios. There's not a single person in that entire building that didn't think that this kid deserved the championship.
Of course, that's true. But I think what Omar is saying, and it's interesting, is that now it's over. It's happened.
Right.
Run with it. Don't let this define you in a negative way. Take this in a different way and make
that's
this.
That's how I feel about Don Beebe, being dragged on this podcast every week.
Yeah.
I use it as strength.
Dave, what Omar was saying, he wasn't saying that. And I agree with that, by the way. Once it's happened, you have to make the best of it. No question. But what he's saying is, wait a second, there's a silver lining. It might be better than actually winning. I don't agree with that.
Well, I think there is a world where that could be true. I mean, say he goes to the NCAA championship, comes in 15th place, and everything's great, but he had that one moment, which is awesome. He has this moment forever too. That everyone we're talking about it, right? We would never talk about his win. We're talking about this loss.
It's very important. The listeners may not know this. Yeah. Before I got to these two idiots, Josh and Dave, I actually was on another podcast called Derek and Jim. And it didn't work. They kicked me off. But it's okay. I ended up here, right?
Listen.
See how you turn it around?
Listen.
Yes.
Everybody stop. I'm going to reel you back in. This kid's name would have been etched as the 2024 ACC champion in the freestyle 1650, right? It's not now. His name, he had the chance to be the NCAA champion in this event. He does not get that opportunity now. So, yes, should he make the best of this situation? Yes. Is it better now? No. No, it's not better. If he was on Jimmy Kimmel and he was on, and he got some sort of like fandom from it,
Dave,
maybe, but he's not getting that.
He could be Jimmy Kimmel.
Can I submit some evidence, please?
Yeah.
So evidence, piece number one of evidence,
yeah,
is the Susan Lucci. Does anyone know Susan
That's
Lucci?
Different.
She
yes,
always
this is different.
Didn't win. She got second yes. place.
This is different. This is different. I agree with you on the Susan Lucci theory. I also agree, by the way, I always say this too, on The Bachelor, I'm going to bring back to The Bachelor. The person who doesn't get picked at the end, there's always comes down to two people, and the Bachelor or Bachelorette picks who they're going to marry, right? And the other person goes off crying and, you know, woe is me, and this is the ruined my life. That's the best thing to be.
This is why that's the best ending of every one of our podcast recordings.
Exactly. Go on, Josh. Because then you become America's sweetheart. You become America's darling when you're not picked. And you
or the next
are,
Bachelorette.
You could be on the next Bachelor or Bachelorette, whatever. But it's so much better. The other couple's not going to make it anyway. We all know that. They're going to date for 3 months, and then they'll announce their separation. That's their breakup. So we already know that. It's so much better to the person who doesn't get picked. So I agree with that. This is different. This is in the record book. This is his physical accomplishment. He trained for this, and now he's stripped of it for no reason. And I think it's bullshit, and I think it sucks, and I don't think it's better that he didn't get it.
Well, it is terrible. Otherwise, it wouldn't be newsworthy if it was like an egregious act that he made.
Yeah, but look, guys, these are all character building moments. This is what life is.
I'm not saying it's not character building.
It's about
building.
Disappointments and how you deal with them, even when you're supposed to earn it. Life's not fair. This is life. I'm stuck with you. I miss Derek and Jim every fucking day. Okay? And I'm stuck with you fucking guys. Am I going to harp on it?
I admit.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
Omar's on to something, though. Good. I think it's true that it's awful that it happened. I agree with you, Josh. It should never have happened. This is really ridiculous. But you could turn this around to where many years from now, he could look back and say, you know
Maybe.
What? It turned out for the best. And as they say, things usually turn out for the best. But what if he was on Jimmy Kimmel or on the Today Show and they interviewed him? And
that'd be awesome.
He can't buy it. No one's going to allow him to buy his own drink, probably in North Carolina State, you know, wherever he is after this
Maybe,
happened.
But I don't think anyone knows who he is. That's a problem. I read the story. I know the story. I can't pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah.
If I bumped into him at a bar, it wouldn't mean nothing to me. I wouldn't even know who he is. Here's by the way, a couple days later, this story came out, which is right alongside of it. And I don't want to belabor the point here, but this was amazing too. So the Iditarod is going on, right? So there's this dude in the Iditarod. And for those who don't know, it's a dog sled race in Alaska. And it's a multiple day race. And so there was a moose that came out and started to attack this guy's dogs, his sled dogs. He pulls out a shotgun and shoots the moose and kills it. Right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes. He was then penalized 2 hours for not sufficiently gutting the moose after he killed it. So again, yes. So apparently the rules of the Iditarod, he's allowed to shoot the moose, number one, because it's attacking his dogs, but he has to gut it to standard, to code, or to whatever. I don't know. You can tell I've never gutted anything. But he has to do that properly to the moose, or he's penalized. This is ridiculous. This is another stupid rule that has nothing to do with who's the best at the event that they're competing in.
We need to get rid of this shit. Because he realizes it's the same fucking irony. Josh has nothing but fucking rules for us on this podcast. You guys have no idea.
What I was thinking is, if I would apply that same thought process of that Iditarod rule to the swimming, it'd be like he went over in a lane and celebrated too soon. But if he would have drowned his teammate, it would have been fine. But since he didn't drown his teammate, he's disqualified.
If he had drowned his teammate, he would have been arrested for murder, but still won the race. There's a big,
I was thinking, like, what the randomness of gutting the moose? It's like,
isn't that crazy?
I don't understand.
That's the rules. That's Iditarod rules, and so he's penalized 2 hours for not sufficiently gutting the moose.
Yeah, that's why I don't gamble on the Iditarod. That's for that reason. It's too random.
But what does that have to do with? What does it have to do with? This is the same thing. What does it have to do with the race? It has nothing to do with the race.
I mean, I can see the rule of you got to stay in your lane. Because if you swim and cross your lane while someone else is swimming, absolutely, that should be a disqualification. Right.
I get it. But this is so – it meant nothing to the – we all know who the real winner was. So let's use some common sense. Just like this guy, just because he didn't gut the moose properly doesn't mean he should be 2 hours later in his time. That has nothing to do with how well how good he is at dog sledding. It's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, rules are rules. Right. It's stupid. I agree.
Okay. All right. Omar, bring us home.
I agree with Omar. Oh. I like his perspective too.
I do like his perspective, but I just don't. I agree with him on the perspective. You got to make the best of it. It's a teachable moment. It's a build character. I get all of that, and I agree 100%. You can't just wallow in it. But
great story.
Is it better that it happened?
Great story. No. Anyone can win a fucking Iditarod or a fucking.
No, they can't. That's the thing.
Race.
Omar, when you go on the record books for the 1650 freestyle in the ACC, his name is not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, that sucks. I don't know.
That sucks.
I
all right, Omar, take us home. Take us home.
So this is a little – this is an interesting one. All right. So
far, not so much.
Yeah. So far, it's very boring. Yeah. It's not interesting.
Okay.
In the
so here's here. I'll keep it. I'll keep it high level. So, so two of my closest friends. All right.
Okay.
Married, et cetera. And so very close to them.
Dude,
and
are you on Valium? Can you pick this up a little bit? Our listeners are falling horribly asleep.
I'm trying to figure out how to tell this in a tactful way. So yeah, anyway, so very close to the wife and the husband. Sang at their wedding, et cetera. But the point is, you know, we had the wife and I were very close, and she had a Rolex, right?
Okay.
That. Yeah. And I'm not a Rolex guy. I don't really wear watches. I like a Casio, like, you know, calculator watch, which I love.
That's true. I've seen it. Yeah.
And, but we were, you know, very close and I wore her Rolex once and I'm like, wow, gold. I'm not sure if you guys noticed this, but gold looks really good on my brown skin.
You know, I was just saying that to Dave the other day.
Yeah.
That Omar should wear more gold.
Especially real gold.
Wow. It is something else. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I actually kind of like wearing this. I'm like, but I wouldn't wear it. I'm like, well, unless you gave me like this. And so, again, long story short, she gave me the watch, quote unquote. And on the back of it, I wrote down, it was engraved in the back of the watch from their last names, your second hubby, to our second hubby, meaning me, second husband.
Wait. Stop. She bought you a Rolex?
No. She gave me that, her watch.
And it happened to say second hubby?
Yeah, but with an engraved back to our second hubby from their last names.
Wait, right? Stop. Yes? Stop. That's giving you a watch.
No, but it was under the idea that I would buy her another one. So it's kind of like the net same thing.
Okay, and let me try to untangle this horrible web you've just woven. Let me see if I get this right.
Right.
This woman who's married to this dude, and you're friends with both of them, has a Rolex.
Best friends, yeah.
And you said, I really like the Rolex. And she said, okay, I'll give you this one. So she has to get another one.
Yeah.
And so before she gave it to you, she engraved it.
It meant something sentimental to me that she was giving it to me as well.
And she engraved it to you.
Yes.
So, okay, you didn't see, okay, that's what
and it said to our second hubby.
Right,
our
I get
husband
she,
from
but
the
they
end
gave
their
you
last
the Rolex.
Together.
Yeah, so you were given a Rolex. Keep going.
Yeah. So
okay, keep going.
Now, well, again, with the understanding that I bought her another one that was around.
We got it.
Whatever. This is what rich people do, by the way. They buy each other gifts. Can they night it out, right?
Yeah, that's why Dave and I are having such trouble figuring out this story.
It's true.
I don't know anyone giving anyone a Rolex.
Well, anyway, the point is that they're now divorced. Okay.
Okay.
And I have this watch, and it's like a beautiful watch. Yeah. It's a heavy old Rolex. I didn't really even wear it that much. Anyways, I don't like wearing it. It's too flashy for me. The back of it, you know, whatever. They're divorced now. Yeah. And I'm talking to, so I'm like, at some point, what am I going to do? It's like $100,000. It's a very expensive watch. It's so only increasing value.
Have you been brought into the divorce settlement? Is the watch now part of the divided up property?
This is the point. Yeah. Is that I'm like, shit. Like, and I told him the other day, actually yesterday, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to just sell this watch. Why do I have it?
Who did you tell that to? The guy?
To the husband.
Why would you say that to him? It's a gift.
What? No, it was from his wife, who he's no longer married to. But here's the thing, Josh. He says to me yesterday, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
He says that she reported the watch stolen.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, what? How is this possible? So I'm like, I'm going to try this. What's going to happen to me? If I go,
oh my God.
So what happens? Is there like, does the FBI come? Like, what's going to happen to me? I'm going
to
tell
you
the person.
You have to get rid of this watch. You have to get rid of it.
I think it's like the ring in Lord of the Rings.
This is a ridiculous story.
Yeah, that's a crazy story.
Well, I'm asking you, what would you guys do?
Get rid of it.
How?
Sell.
Oh, the fucking black market?
No. I disagree. It's
what?
It's insurance fraud on her side. I mean, did she make a claim that was stolen?
Did she make a claim?
Yeah. So basically what happened is that her new watch that I bought her, she thought she lost that. But instead of reporting that PIN number, she reported the PIN number of the watch she sold to me.
So this is an accident.
Correct. But she never corrected it.
Okay. You should have said that initially.
Yeah,
we don't talk anymore.
Well, right, but you still know the facts.
And they won't talk to you after letting everyone know. What's their names again?
Yeah, don't say their names.
I'm not saying
their names. For the love of God, do not say their names.
But what would you guys do here?
Give it back. Give it back, and then she can claim, oh, I made a mistake.
Give it back to who?
I just lost it.
No.
To the gypsy? I bought it from on the side of the road?
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
Don't they have
a
divorce settlement lawyer that can go into the –
It was a gift. The gift was given to Omar. What they do – on their time or whatever, what she did, that's her business. That's not Omar's fault. He got a gift. It's rightfully his. And he doesn't want to wear it for some obvious reasons. I would take it to a pawn shop and just get rid of it.
A pawn shop?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Why? A pawn shop is whatever.
He's got a stolen watch, though.
That's where you take hot items, Dave. If I've learned anything from television, you take hot items to the pawn shop.
No, that's true. Yeah. And you never get, you know, you get pennies on the dollar.
He doesn't care about that. Omar doesn't care about that.
Well, I'm pennies on the dollar. Listen, if it's like 40 cents on a dollar, I'm more indifferent. But pennies?
You'll get 40 cents on the dollar.
Because a pawn shop's going to know. I'm going to go to jail. I can't last
gonna
in jail.
You're going to go to jail? You didn't do anything wrong.
I'm selling a
Who's
going to
believe him
watch?
When he's got a stolen watch?
But it's not a stolen watch. It was a gift.
Well, that's his word against.
Cops are going to believe that?
Well, they're not going to believe it from coming from you.
Yes.
That's the problem. Here, give me the watch.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Right.
I will get rid of it and take 10% of whatever I get for it.
Wait. I'll do it for 5%.
guys, I'm not kidding. The watch is literally worth 80, 90, 100K.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take 6%. 6%.
Wait. How about – no, 10% we'll split it, Josh. We'll each take 5%.
All right, we each take 5%. 10%, Dave and I will take 10% total.
What's the nicest thing that you guys have in your closets that you guys do not wear? Like, it's probably jewelry. Like Josh
– No.
Actually, Dave, do you think Josh has any jewelry at all?
You wear chains, right?
I have two pieces of jewelry, and I wear them. I have a chain.
Okay, one of them is a belly button ring. What's the other one?
Yes, that's hilarious. Yeah, I have a chain and my wedding ring. I don't have a single piece of jewelry besides those two things.
Yeah, I have my wedding ring. That's it. No jewelry.
Not single piece of jewelry. Nothing.
My most
expensive item might be a sweater or suit or something like
a suit. That's all I can think of would be a suit
a watch?
In my
no,
closet.
No, not one of you guys.
I have an Apple Watch, but I never wear it. That would be the most expensive thing.
Apple Watch might be.
But I don't wear it.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything expensive. I don't think I have anything expensive that's wearable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
who's
either.
Who's your friend who wears the most like
you?
I don't wear watches though. I mean, that's a huge, like,
you wear 15 bracelets like Johnny Depp. You wear earrings. You wear chains. Lou. Yeah. Yeah, it's you. Yeah, I don't know anyone who wears more jewelry than you.
It'd be you. We know a guy, Joe, who's into watches.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know Joe. Joe's watch is worth more than my entire whatever.
Yeah, right. So,
okay. Yeah.
But yeah, my friends, like friends that I see on a daily basis, kind of friends.
No. Do you guys think there's an inverse correlation between your trust of someone and the amount of bling they have on, whether subconsciously or consciously?
No, I don't think so. I just don't have anyone
do you
in
trust
my
a
life
man
other
who has
than
an
you. Of course.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. That doesn't have any effect.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked? What?
Oh, way to bring it back.
Yeah, there you go. And that's what we call
you,
a
Dave.
Callback.
That's for you.
That's a callback to Airplane and our good friend Leslie Nielsen.
Surely you can't be serious.
Very, very well done. Very well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I typically
I keep think the summary of this, I think he gives it back.
To who? He doesn't see her. He has no contact with her, Dave. He doesn't have contact with her.
I haven't. We don't speak.
He doesn't speak anymore.
You
can't do it.
I don't think you understand that.
You need to either re-gift it to somebody else, pocket.
Can I change? You know what? I changed the back of it to say something else.
Why don't you just scratch it off? Take it to a place and have them redo it and put the new back on or something like that. Just
no, I got an idea. Redo it. Say to Dave, thanks for the FTS idea. Love and kisses. And then give it to me.
There you go. That's one idea.
You know, my best friend got a Rolex from Rick Ross. And the back of it said from one boss to the other. He never wears a watch.
That's pretty cool though.
If you guys were if you guys got a Rolex, Dave, would you wear it?
I would. Yes, of course.
No,
I
don't like watches. I don't like watches.
I would wear it every day. I'd wear it on special occasions for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the interesting question. What is a special occasion for David Erickson? This is when you go to like TGI
Packers Monday night. Packers Monday night.
Red Lobster. Sure. Like, what is
your conference? I would wear your conference. Wear short sleeves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there's no occasion I would ever wear a Rolex. I wouldn't want to wear a Rolex. That would make me feel really weird and out of place to have that much money on my wrist. That'd be
I agree.
That'd be,
I agree.
Just my, it's just me. It's just me. So
no,
I would.
The same way. I don't like wearing it.
Why don't
it
you just
nice?
Why don't you weight. Regift it? Change the back and regift it.
Yeah, Josh doesn't want it. I do. Give it to me.
Maybe I'll
I
give do. It to Rick Ross.
No. You said you would wear it. I'd wear it. We've already established you can't go back. I'd wear it. I have special
it's actually interesting criteria. If you were indifferent about who to give it to, you'd want to give it to the person who gets the most utility from it.
Here's what you do.
Exactly
I figured it out. Why don't you donate it to a good cause? Then you get a write-off. Boom. It's a win-win.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not
donate
bad.
It to a good cause. They can monetize it themselves. Help out their cause. You get the write-off. Yeah. That's right. I blew your mind. It's a great idea.
That's
and then
not a
when
bad
they put
idea.
The then when they put the president of the ADL behind bars for a stolen Rolex, you can just smile and laugh and
That's not a bad idea. Don't give it to give it to an organization.
Give it to an organization.
Yeah.
Cuz then no one's going to criticize an organization.
Right.
Good cause. Huh?
I think
because you do have evidence that they gave it to you. It says on the back, it's implied that. Does it say Omar? It just says to our second husband,
second hubby.
Yeah. It'd be better if I had his name, but I like it. Give it away. Give it to
you guys. Do you guys think that we're like Seinfeld? In other words, like our first season was, you know. And second season, less so, and now I think we're like about to hit our peak.
Yeah, I think we hit our peak before you brought up this tangent.
But
and
this
now
topic?
We've gone right back in the valley. Yeah, no, this tangent right now. This do you think we're Seinfeld tangent? You ground it to a halt. It's all right. It's okay.
That's right.
Why don't we put a bow on this?
Okay.
Because we're at that time. I just want to thank everyone for joining us for episode 65. This was had the take two. We call this episode 65 take two. Started fresh just for for everyone's
everyone of our listeners, please play Take Two tonight by Dave Brubeck.
There you go.
It's one of the greatest, greatest jazz songs of all time.
There you go. That's a good way to take us home. And remember to follow us on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok at Friends Talking Shop. Email us at friends@fbs.media and visit our website, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. Thank you, Omar and Dave, for another great episode. And thanks for joining us. See ya.